Well, hello. How you doing, everybody? Welcome to the show. Welcome to your Tuesday morning right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200. We are so glad you're along for this 27th day of July 2021. No, gang's not all here. Simmer's off this week and next, taking a nice summer break. So it's JR and Hammer for hour one, and then after 7 o'clock this morning, we're looking forward to being joined by the regular host of She's Got Game here on TSN 1200. Michaela Schreider will join us for a couple of hours to take you through your morning here on TSN 1200. Lots to go over with her. As a big fan and supporter of women's sports, I'm sure she's happy to see that the scoreboard, if you break things down for Canada at the Olympics gender-wise, now reads the total is 7, women 7, men 0 so far. It's early days. I would actually normally put down some shackles, but I don't like to lose bets, and I think that's a losing proposition. Pretty much assured that the women will outmedal the men as far as Canada goes at the Olympics.
It's all falling under the Canadian flag, so it doesn't really matter. But yes, our Canadian women are kicking some butt, and good on them.
Yes. Now, you were watching this morning as we added another medal.
Yes,
Catherine
Beauchemin-Pinard.
So that's our second. We had never had a judo medal before. Now we've got two.
So they went into, again, they were, I don't want to say tied, but nobody had scored a point during the regulation 4 minutes. So they went into golden time or gold point time.
Called?
Something. Yeah,
okay.
It's called that.
I like golden time. I like that.
And she took her right down.
Right.
Right down. Nice little
flip. Is that it? Is it sudden death? Golden time?
1 point. Boom. Done. Wow. Finished.
Did she do, like, handstands or...
No, she just stayed. She was just on her knees crying,
nice.
Just showing the passion. And it's interesting because in judo, as I'm listening, is if you're passive in judo, you get a penalty. If you are not trying to attack,
right.
You get a penalty. You get 3 penalties, you're done.
You're out.
Match is done. You've
like
lost.
It. Yes.
So we almost saw that in the gold medal match after the bronze medal match.
Okay. All right. I'll be the first to
That's
admit.
That's me breaking down judo right there.
I don't know the martial arts very well. None of my kids took martial arts. I know a lot of kids do. Did your kids ever take martial arts?
My daughter tried it. Tried karate.
Yeah.
Karate.
And we started with the white belt, of course,
yep.
And ended with the white belt.
Okay, that was
and
it.
And we walked
the
out.
Extent of it.
It's a pretty nice white belt.
Oh, yeah.
That we bought for okay. $30.
All right. Well, it's a keepsake, right?
No, sure.
It's in a box somewhere to be sold.
Oh, it's hung up somewhere.
Yes, exactly. Yes. So anyway.
But no,
so
not really.
So we won a bronze in women's softball. 3-2 beating Mexico in the bronze medal match, so that's good. And then last night in swimming, Kylie Moss won a silver in the 100-meter backstroke. I watched that live.
And she led at the turn.
Yeah,
and
it was
just
close.
Held, it was really close.
Very close. Like, you know, all these races, especially if you're 100 meters, they're won by a tenth of a second or less. So there were some terrific. The swimming has been off the charts good so far. Just across the board.
And you're loving the pool. I'm seeing you tweeting about the pool nonstop.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You know why? Because yesterday I was...
Is it the commentating? Because it is some really good... I'm not too sure of the names, but it is thrilling.
I miss Steve Armitage, who, of course, longtime veteran. They've moved him to now, I think, rowing.
Yes.
I'm not quite sure what he's been moved to, but Byron McDonald is the color guy, and he's really good. He's a swimming coach in the University of Toronto, so he knows everything inside and out. He knows all of the Canadian athletes, too, really well, right, because they all swim out of Toronto. And then I'm not sure who the play-by-play guy is. He's new, but he's good. Shows a good deal of enthusiasm. Gets the racers correct. That's always important.
Well, what do you mean by that?
So they've been very good. But here's the thing about the swimming, because I finally found a schedule. Remember yesterday I was complaining about I've just difficulty finding
it's
out
a little confusing.
What's when and what's live and what's taped and everything. And so I finally found a website that kind of and it's like it's listed in Eastern time. I'm not trying to figure out what time it is in Tokyo and going back 13 hours. So it's like the swimming and it just listed. It's like, all right, this is at 9:30. This is at 9:43. This is at 9:57. And everything is in the 2 hours between 9 or 9:30, I can't remember, and 11. So all the races are in that kind of window between 9 and 11 at night.
Those are the medal races?
Yes. Well, okay. Or semis.
Or semis,
Semis. So the big races, yeah.
And do you know who got the final out for Canada in the bronze medal softball match against Mexico?
I'm going to go with, because I read her name today.
All right.
Okay, Danielle Lowry?
Yes.
Who is
struck out.
Brett Lowry's sister.
Yes.
Former Blue Jay, of course, and Oakland A, and...
Milwaukee Brewer.
Milwaukee Brewer, and then retirement.
Yeah. So, he was a bit of a doofus. I always thought he was a bit of a doofus. Anyway, congratulations to his sister.
Yes.
Because she just won the bronze medal for Canada. She's a pitcher. And here's the interesting thing about her. I was doing some reading this morning. She is one of four members of Team Canada that participated in women's softball the last time they held it, which was 2008. She was on the Canadian team 13 years ago and has hung around long enough because it was out of the Olympics for two straight Olympics. Now it's back again. So can you imagine being part of something that was around, and then disappeared or went away, as far as the Olympics go, for 13 years and then coming back and winning a medal this time?
And that was a disappointing finish for them back then, right? Because they finished out of the medals, I believe, fourth. And that's why if we do ever play it, the highlight that they mentioned redemption for Team Canada.
Right.
Well, that's a long time coming for redemption.
It is.
For women's softball to be put back into the Olympics and then for these four players to stay around long enough and to get that medal finally. So Congratulations to them.
Absolutely. All right. So that brings you up to date. We're at seven medals right now for Canada at the Olympics. One gold, three silver, three bronze. And still to come today, there's kind of one big competition left. It's a pretty big soccer game, or relatively big. I haven't been able to figure out yet whether if Canada loses, they're out. I don't think they are. I think they've established enough points because. This is the other part where it doesn't really explain. So this is women's soccer. Sorry, I didn't explain that. So they're playing Great Britain. So we're in group play. This is the final game of group play. They play three games within your group. And then I'm not sure how many teams move on. I know it's at least the first and second. What I don't know is, do the
any wild cards?
Couple of third place wild card teams get through? Right now, Canada's...
Like we saw in the Euro Cup, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So that's the part I wasn't quite able to ascertain. But anyway, Great Britain right now is two wins. Canada's a win and a tie. So if Canada wins, obviously they win the group. If they tie, I'm pretty sure they're in good shape. They'd be second, but if they lose, I'm not quite sure what happens. But I was reading the comments from the coach yesterday, and she was saying, of course, we want to try to win and all this, but we want to make sure our players are rested. So that kind of led me to believe that
they've locked it down.
They must have a spot, but they would still rather win because they'd get an easier draw in the next round, in the knockout stages, as they say.
You're always trying to set yourself up down the road for the medal round and try to stay away, I would guess, from the Americans. Early on in the knockout stage and try to get yourself close to a semifinal and then a bronze medal.
Although the Americans lost their first game. They got shut out by Sweden and they were...
But they clinched today.
Oh, they did. What did they do against Australia? Because they didn't see
they
that.
They won.
Okay.
And they have clinched a spot in the knockout stage.
All right. There you go. All right. So anyway, the women's soccer is at 7 this morning. And we'll do some live listen-ins to that throughout the morning. It'll be on between 7 and 9. So we'll drop into that a few times to find out... where and how they are doing against Great Britain. All right. I don't think I mentioned the weather forecast. Should mention the air quality advisory that had been in effect yesterday and was supposed to be in effect today. And now it's been ended. So that's good news, I guess. Not sure what exactly happened, whether the weather patterns changed or whatever, but the air quality advisory has ended. So the forecast for today is not great. We got off and on showers. In fact, it may be raining where you are right now, but off and on showers for the day today and much cooler. Humidity has gone away for at least a few days. Looks like 20 only will be the high today. Tomorrow, we're back to a mix of sun and clouds, 24. Then we got rain for Thursday, sunshine for Friday, and right now, the long weekend. And for those of you who haven't checked, it is a long weekend coming up this weekend. Pretty mixed bag. Showers right now for Saturday and Sunday and nice on Monday. But things can change long range, so I don't want to read too much into that. Right now in Ottawa, we're at 15 degrees. So there you go. There's your weather update. Okay, so we'll talk more about the Olympics. Lots of hockey stuff, of course, from yesterday, including, today's the buyout thing, but qualifying offers, some interesting players not offered contracts. We did have some moves, Winnipeg Jets being in the middle of some of it. What's it all mean? We'll tell you what the Ottawa Senators did yesterday. We'll revisit some of our interview with Sens Chief Scout Trent Mann, who, of course, underwent a fair degree of criticism among the so-called draft experts for the Sens draft on the weekend. He'll be by to explain why he's perfectly satisfied with what the Ottawa Senators did. So we'll hear from him. We've got some baseball stuff. Looks like Aaron Rodgers will be at Packers camp, but will it be the last training camp that Aaron Rodgers attends as a member of the Green Bay Packers? We'll tell you all about that. The Ottawa Blackjacks have clinched a playoff spot in the CEBL. And Atletico Ottawa has unveiled plans for a home opener unlike any other. We'll tell you all about that as well as we continue along here. It is a Tuesday morning. We're glad you're with us. J.R. and Hammer on Sports Radio TSN 1200. We are back on this Tuesday morning. J.R. and Hammer, Michaela Schreider will join us coming up after 7. After 8 o'clock this morning, Dave Poulin, our TSN hockey insider, will be by, and we'll get you caught up on all the hockey news from yesterday. And there's a fair bit more coming today and certainly tomorrow with free agency. So Dave Poulin will be by after 8. After 9 o'clock, Javon Shepherd, he's the GM of the Ottawa Blackjacks. Pretty happy guy, I'm sure. Blackjacks clinched a playoff spot with a big win at TD Place Arena last night, and Javon is also part of the Olympic coverage of women's basketball, Canada's women's basketball team, Olympic team, which lost its opener against Serbia a couple of days ago, or I guess yesterday, our time. And so I don't want to say they're in tough, but we'll get his thoughts on where we're at as far as Olympic women's basketball as well. Javon Shepherd will join us after 9. If you got at least one code word into us yesterday as part of our Sens Jersey Monday contest, stand by. I could be calling you at some point later this morning with the good news that you are this week's grand prize winner of your very own customized Black Sens Adidas home jersey. So good luck on that. And, of course, just before 8 o'clock this morning, we will play our TSN 1200 $1,000 Minute. I don't know, Hammer, if you got a chance to go through the questions yet.
I sent them to you. It's not.
I think it's a pretty. It's an eclectic. It's all over the map.
This is a potpourri.
Normally during hockey season, I do a fair bit of hockey questions. There aren't as many hockey questions, so if you struggle with stuff outside of hockey, it may be tough.
Just remember to change number one. You got to make a little bit of a change on that one.
That's a bit of a hinty, but yes. Okay. Good job by you on that.
I just want to help the listener just a touch. Kay. Just a touch.
We'll do that just before 8 o'clock this morning. All right. We just went through the Olympics, so we'll go through it again, and we'll hear some of Canada's winning calls here coming up. But I want to touch on the hockey. First of all, to bring you right up to date, today at 5 o'clock is the buyout window deadline. And so expect to hear probably a few more of those coming up today. We had a handful before the entry draft. We had a couple on the weekend. But again, today at 5 o'clock is the deadline. So I know in Edmonton they've talked about James Neal and Mikko Koskinen, the goalie. Just two examples right there. There are about three or four others that I've seen fairly widely rumored as far as candidates for buyouts go. So those have to be announced by 5 o'clock this afternoon. So that's something to keep their eye on. And, of course, tomorrow at noon is NHL free agency frenzy. So we'll find out where. And I guess Dougie Hamilton is the biggest name that's out there as far as free agency goes. Certainly the best defenseman that is on the board. But there's some interesting names, including, well, Ryan Getzlaff looks like wants to keep playing hockey. Thought he was pretty much fully cooked. In Anaheim, the Ducks
doesn't
have shown
mean he's not. No, just because he wants to play does not mean he's not done.
That's true.
He's just trying to hang on to what would be a fantastic life to lead, right? As a professional athlete.
Yeah, and well, exactly, and probably going to land. He's probably going to land in a spot if he doesn't care about the money. And I can't think. I mean, he's made a gazillion dollars. He won a Stanley Cup very early in his career. He's a member of the Ducks team that beat Ottawa back in 2007. It's now 14 years later. Believe it or not. The Ducks are really bad. They're turning the page, and he's moving on. So, you know what? He's still, you know, he's been a member of an Olympic team. He's won a Stanley Cup. He's had a great career. He's no longer nearly the player he used to be, but those types of players still hold some allure for some general managers, those of whom especially feel like their team is close and have a chance to push it over the top. So for Ryan Getzlaff, as long as the money is not that big, he may be able to kind of pick a spot to go to where he might have a chance to help a team win a Stanley Cup.
So what team are you looking at right now in the NHL? Because I'm not looking at Tampa Bay, because Tampa Bay's got a whole bunch of changes left to do this offseason.
They
right?
have no money, even if they pay a minimum money.
Exactly. So they still have salaries that they've got to get rid of. So you don't know the construct of that team come this fall. So what team, if you're Ryan Getzlaff, looking at, okay, what gives me the best chance to win a Stanley Cup as is? Colorado?
Yeah.
One of them?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Like, you can go through the list of teams that have been close, right? I don't, would he have an interest in going to Vegas? Vegas is close, so yeah.
I know, I understand that, but they've got other holes to fill, right? Like, they were exposed a little bit by the Canadians down the middle and their weakness there, and that is something that they need to address. I don't think Ryan Getzlaff is going to be that guy that the Golden Knights need to target.
No, he's not the key guy.
Or even offer a contract.
No, he's not the key guy to push them over the top. But again, as a minimum salary guy, a guy to help round out their roster, I could potentially, you know, they're built to win now. They're absolutely built to win now. So he may be a piece of, you know, they're bringing back Alec Martinez. They announced that yesterday. So Vegas is kind of, they're going for it right now. So anyway, I would say one team I've seen, and I don't know that they're close to winning the Stanley Cup, but Edmonton is the team I see associated with Ryan Getzlaff. Western Canadian boy. They tried Kyle Turris as third line center. That didn't work out very well. So now
so let's try Ryan Getzlaff and see if he's going to be any better.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, that's Ryan Getzlaff. Now, the goaltending situation is very interesting. Of course, you're sitting there in Toronto. Right now, all they have is Jack Campbell. Calgary right now only has Jakob Markstrom. Carolina doesn't have any goalies that are signed. So this is going to be very interesting as to how this all plays itself out. Here is Pierre LeBrun on the situation with the goalies.
This is what I find interesting is I think somewhere on Carolina's shortlist, Freddie Anderson is on there. And I think somewhere on Toronto's shortlist is Peter Mrazek, the outgoing UFA goalie one of Carolina's outgoing goalies. So possibility here in a way through free agency of perhaps the Hurricanes and the Leafs swapping goalies. But having said that, Anderson and Mrazek will have multiple offers from multiple teams, so they could end up all kinds of different places. But keep that in mind. In the meantime, I think that both the Leafs and the Hurricanes have also shown trade interest in Darcy Kemper, the Arizona goalie who has a year left on his deal at $4.5 million. So a lot to digest here. A lot can change. But in the meantime, Carolina also still trying to re-sign UFA goalie Jonathan Bernier, whose rights they acquired last week.
All right, so lots to go through there. We'll take a break and we'll come back. We'll get into the goaltending situation around the NHL, which is very interesting. I think Ottawa's set. Everybody else up in the air. So we'll come back. We'll chat about that when we return right here on TSN 1200. All right, welcome back. 6:37 on this Tuesday morning. JR and Hammer with you. All right, we went into the break talking about the goaltending situation, which is certainly in a state of flux around the National Hockey League with several teams, not the least of which would be the Toronto Maple Leafs. Of course, Montreal is all settled now. Carey Price, Jake Allen here in Ottawa, Anton Forsberg, Matt Murray, Toronto, Jack Campbell, and blank right now. So you heard Pierre LeBrun mention in his piece of potentially a swap of goaltenders. I don't think their rights would be traded. I don't know that that makes any sense. It's just that they're both unrestricted, so maybe they just change teams, and that would be former Ottawa 67, Peter Mrazek, perhaps ends up as the 1B in Toronto, and Freddie Anderson ends up being the number one guy down in Carolina. So
Is that an upgrade for any team?
The pieces kind of, that's how they might fit. Is it an upgrade?
It's an upgrade for either team.
Yeah.
Is Anderson an upgrade in Carolina? Who it just confuses me how they don't have one goaltender under contract right now. And they traded Nedeljkovic to Detroit, and now they're left without anybody back there. And then, of course, Mrazek, an upgrade for Toronto over Anderson. Does it seem like the same?
Well, the thing about Mrazek going into a situation in Toronto where Jack Campbell is, he's used to sharing the job. So if you have goalies who are used to being the guy, and then they're asked to share a job, sometimes mentally, they don't deal very well with that. They want to be the guy, and yet, for whatever reason, their talent level, their play doesn't dictate the fact that they should be the number one guy. So they're kind of brought in, and they bring in a guy that's of sort of equal quality. Well, sometimes they don't deal well with that. So Peter Mrazek has been essentially kind of a 50-50 goalie his entire career, right? There's never been a time when you'd go, Peter Mrazek, undisputed number one goaltender for whatever team he's played for. Mostly it's been Carolina. So from that sense, I think him going to Toronto and sharing a job with Jack Campbell, I think makes sense. I think that would be okay for Toronto. Now, Freddie Anderson, I don't know what Carolina would do with the other goaltending job. Is that Jonathan Bernier? I mean, they got his rights in the deal with Detroit, where Nedeljkovic ended up with the Wings. Or are they just looking to make sure that they've got an option of Bernier if Anderson, you know, falls, if Anderson goes in a different direction? I mean, there's so many teams right now that aren't necessarily settled in goal. And we've just mentioned four names. I mean, Pierre LeBrun in his piece brought up Darcy Kemper. He's got a year left in his deal in Arizona. They seem like they're trading everybody and are willing to take on any bad contract that any team has in exchange for draft picks. So Darcy Kemper potentially could be moved for more draft picks in Arizona. And he's, you know, I don't watch a lot of Arizona, but I know lots of people talk really glowingly about how good a goaltender he is and completely under the radar. So he may be a good guy for a team like a Carolina that needs a guy. I don't know that in Toronto necessarily you bring him in. Like, he'd be great to, don't get me wrong, he'd be a great goalie to have, but you kind of said Jack Campbell's a pretty good guy too. That's the thing about goalies. There is only one net. Only one guy can play. So you bring in Darcy Kemper in to just play 50% of the games. I don't know that makes sense.
That's where the old adage comes up, right? When you have two goaltenders, you don't have one goaltender or something to that effect, right? You want a starter. You want a go-to guy. You don't want to keep juggling. And especially in Toronto, you don't want the media frenzy to always be going back and forth and that always being the story. That's going to weigh on you. But right now for Toronto, I don't know what they do. Jack Campbell, he was good. He had some great games. He blew up in a few of them as well.
And he has no playoff history. That's the thing.
And it seemed like once things went wrong for him, then there was a long stretch of bad games. He would get it back on the rails a little bit, and then he'd go back on a hot and cold goal. Mm-hmm. You can't have that in the playoffs. You cannot have a hot and cold goaltender.
The thing about Jack Campbell is, first of all, he's a great story. His backstory is fantastic. He is said to be a great guy. You can tell, you know, after games in which the Leafs won, I mean, that his teammates really love the guy. There is no doubt about that. But here's the thing in Toronto. They're built to win now. And can you afford, if you're Toronto, to go into a season where he is your undisputed number one guy when he has zero track record at all of being a number one guy for an entire season, the undisputed number one guy, and B, most importantly, he's got zero track record in the playoffs, right? He played this past year in the playoffs, and I don't want to say he's the reason they lost the series, but he didn't win them the series. And so you would be going into next year, you know, and again, as your window is at best staying open, if not starting to close a little bit
in
Toronto,
more seasons, yep.
Right? Rolling the dice on a guy who's got zero playoff pedigree. Not saying he can't get it done, but you don't know. No one would know. If you're Kyle Dubas, if you're Sheldon Keefe, you do not know if Jack Campbell can get it done in the playoffs.
So that is not the smart move.
Well, you got to have another guy.
You got to have somebody else with some playoff performances, somebody that you trust. And right now they don't have that. If it's Mrazek, do you trust him to get it done in the playoffs? Because he was in and out for Carolina in the playoffs as well. He's never taken the reins and just dominated, be it win or lose, in a series. So for the Maple Leafs, they are really painting themselves into a corner. As you said, this is their time. You've got to get it done now. You don't know what Austin Matthews' plan is going to be because of the contract you gave him to walk right to free agency. You don't know what his plan is going to be to either stay in Toronto or say, hey, I really enjoyed my time, wash your hands of it, and then head to whatever American town you want to go to.
I have the name of one guy who I think, and I'm not so much basing it on his play last year. I don't know enough about goaltending, but I'm just basing it on his history, on the fact that he has held a similar shared position in the past and as well is a veteran and as well probably isn't going to command huge dollars for a team that's got to count every penny. And that's Yaroslav Halak, who Boston has already said they're not going to re-sign. So he is moving on. He's 35 or 36 years old. I think he made just over $2.5 million or something last year. I don't know that he'd be, based on his play, be due for a bump. At best, he's probably about the same money. I think that he might be a good guy to go into Toronto because, as Montreal Canadiens fans mm-hmm. know very well, now is a long time ago, but This is a guy who has got it done in the playoffs, at least a little bit. So I think he might be, and he's used to sharing the job, right? In fact, he's used to, you know,
50-50.
Even less so. Like, when the playoffs will come around, Rask is the guy, for the most part, has been the guy in Boston. But Halak, you know, during the regular season gets, you know, it's closer to 50-50 than a lot of, you know, tandems work. So he's used to that. So I think if I were to guess, I think he might be. And again, they would have to base it on how they think he's playing right now. Maybe he's a little bit washed. I don't know. But goaltenders tend to age fairly well, especially guys that have a pretty long resume like he does. He might be a good guy for Toronto. And again, he's not going to cost a ton.
That still, though, as if I was a fan and I looked upon my roster for the Leafs and I go, okay, up front, fantastic. Defensively, top six, solid for the most part. And then you look at the back end and you go, all right, Yaroslav Halak, Jack Campbell. That's my tandem that I'm going to go into the playoffs with and try to end our Stanley Cup drought, or at least make a cup final, or at least just win a playoff series,
well,
for crying out loud.
Who's the guy then that you can pay the limited amount of dollars, right? Like you can't, you're arguing both sides.
No, right? I understand.
There is no perfect solution. They have boxed themselves into a corner with how they've constructed their team with the cap. They have chosen to go light in terms of goaltending and salaries, which, listen, I'm not going to be disingenuous about that. I've said many times I would not spend $10 million for a number one goalie. I'd like to have two guys that collectively make about $4 million each and hope one of those guys come through. Or have a $6 or $7 million guy and a $1 million guy, just in terms of how much money I would pay the position. If you're talking about Campbell and Halak, that probably, well, Campbell, I think, makes, what, $1.5 million or thereabouts? I don't think he makes a lot of money, and Halak would not make. They'd be paying about $4 million collectively for their goaltending.
And that, I guess, is what I'm leading to, is my point in how this team has been constructed. And I know you've gone on a lot about how they've mismanaged it. I don't know if you can swing some deal with the Golden Knights where you've got a piece that they really want to take some salary from Marc-Andre Fleury. Right, who's going into the final year of his contract at $7 million.
The flower in Toronto.
But could you take – but what do you got to give up for Vegas to take 50% of that? Because that's what you need to
Vegas,
do, right?
Vegas is up against the cap. That's the thing. They can't afford it. You'd have to bring a third team in to take some of the money. Hello, Arizona. You're taking on everybody's bad contracts.
They can only take so much, though.
You'd have to find a flow-through of a team that's willing to take a lot of cap money, and then you'd be giving up draft picks. But again, if you're built to win now, you've got to go for it, right? About the future. So Toronto will be a team certainly to keep your eye on as far as goaltending goes. Carolina, for sure, as we said, they've got nobody. But there are a number of teams around the NHL that right now are sitting on one goalie. So I think definitely something we're going to see in free agency is a bit of a goaltender carousel. We're going to see a lot of old faces in new places by the time the dust settles and training camp opens in September. So it's going to be pretty interesting. Tango texts in and says mentions the Boston Bruins as well, right? You've got Tuukka Rask is injured. We don't even know if he – he said he's only going to come back and play in Boston. He's injured, I believe, out till, I want to say, January, I believe it is.
Yeah.
All right, significant injury. So right now they're sitting on Jeremy Swayman, who, when Pierre Maguire was on with us, is a huge Swayman fan. And when he played for Boston this year, he was good. But he's got, you know, a month's worth of, he's got half a season's worth of NHL experience. You would be, and again, you want to talk about teams that have to win now, the Boston Bruins with an, you know, good but aging core. Are they 100% in on having a rookie goalie carry the ball for them going into next season when, again, your window is most definitely closing? So Boston is another very interesting team you keep your eye on.
Yeah, they probably don't have any other choice but to do that, right? Eventually,
well, if Rask comes
with the
back,
flat cap, that's what you're hoping for, right? If you can just somehow just keep the ship above water for the first half of the season, get through the Olympic break, I imagine, and then Rask will be ready to go. That's if he heals enough to be able to resume his career or just outright retires.
Right. All right, so goaltending will be one thing. Free agency, again, opens at noon tomorrow, and we'll see if everything starts off with a huge bang and we get a bunch of signings, or whether this is something, given, again, how many teams are facing cap issues, whether we're going to see things evolve a little more slowly. Teams are going to be a little more careful with their dollars. I say that And I think we all know how it's going to play itself out. Teams say they're going to be disciplined, and then free agency hits, and it's like, well, you know what? Let's go for this guy. What the hell? Throw the dice on Dougie Hamilton or whatever. All right, so that's again noon tomorrow. Full coverage here on TSN 1200. So the buyout window closes at 5 o'clock this afternoon. There should be some names that'll be on that list today. Qualifying hours offers had to be issued by 5 o'clock yesterday. I think Pierre Dorion mentioned the Sens names last week, and they made it official yesterday. No surprises on there. Marcus Hogberg, Jonathan Davidson, our friend Bodes, Baudin. Is it JC? Baudin? JC? Yeah, he's none of those three players were offered contracts, but all the regulars that needed to got their contract offers, qualifying offers, including Brady Tkachuk and Drake Batherson, Logan Brown, Victor Mete, Philip Gustafson, etc. All right, 6:50, we'll take a break. Thoughts on anything we discuss are always welcome. You can text us at 12-1200, tweet at us at TSN 1200. Again, our TSN Hockey Insider Dave Poulin will join us after 8 o'clock as we roll on here for a Tuesday morning. Michaela's coming in after 7 o'clock. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200. Congratulations to the Ottawa Blackjacks that clinched a playoff spot in the CEBL for the second straight year. They beat Saskatchewan yesterday 82-69 at TD Place Arena to improve to 4-7. And again, six teams in the 17 league make the playoffs. And Saskatchewan had one win going in, but that made it official. By the way, they were down 11-0 to start that game. So not a great start for the Blackjacks, but they did rally and won it. So 4-7, three games to go in the regular season. For the Blackjacks. We'll talk more about Atletico Ottawa's unique take on their home opener coming up. They've never played. This team has been around now for a year and a half. They've never played a game here in Ottawa. As this pandemic sports calendar continues to be upside down, but Jeff Hunt and company unveiled a very unique plan for their home opener coming up next month in August. We'll talk all about that coming up next hour. Get you caught up on the Olympics as Michaela Schreider will jump in after 7 o'clock. But want to quickly touch on, before we take our top of the hour break, the situation in the NFL. Of course, training camps are set to get underway here shortly. The biggest question maybe in the entire league is, would Aaron Rodgers show up at Packers camp? It has been a drama unlike any other for pretty much the entire NFL offseason. For a while there was everything from Rodgers is getting traded to Rodgers is going to retire to Rodgers is going to sit out. Now it appears that he and the team have worked out a deal in which he will be a member of the Green Bay Packers for the coming season. Here's ESPN's Adam Schefter on what the Packers have done.
Green Bay did a very smart thing because there were other teams that would have been interested in trading for Aaron Rodgers, despite the Packers saying, we will not trade him. It would have been a situation that would have hung over the franchise throughout the course of the summer. It would have been an enormous distraction not having Aaron Rodgers there. And I can't tell you how close it was to happening and how much Green Bay's change of tune over the course of the last weekend influenced the events and allowed Aaron Rodgers to give in to the concessions that will bring him back to Green Bay and allow for as peaceful a summer as the Packers can have, as productive a season as the Packers can have, as both sides prepare for the eventual possibility that this could be Aaron Rodgers' last season in Green Bay.
Yeah. All right. So the deal apparently that he and the Packers have reached is this one. He'll come back. He's got three more years left on his contract. The Packers offered to extend him for two more years beyond that. Again, he's 37 years old, but still at or near the top of his game, it would seem, to make him the highest paid quarterback in football. He's not interested in doing that. So the compromise is this. He'll come back. He'll play one more year in Green Bay, and then the two sides will end their relationship at the end of this year. How that would take place, I'm not quite sure, whether it would he would be released from the last 2 years of his contract or whether the Packers can actually get something for him in a trade. I'm not sure if you're Green Bay, you want to just release Aaron Rodgers, but that's the way the NFL is different than a lot of other leagues where you see star players get released. But anyway, that's the way it appears to be headed. So if you're a Green Bay Packer fan, I guess it's mixed emotions. You are getting Rodgers back. You do have a chance with him at quarterback to win the Super Bowl. There's no doubt about that. They have a, you know, close to a Super Bowl caliber roster. But it's also kind of bittersweet knowing that, this could be the last kick at the can for Aaron Rodgers, continuing the legacy that started with Brett Favre like 30 years ago. He essentially handed the baton to Aaron Rodgers. They've been the only two quarterbacks the Packers have had for 30 years.
Was this not the worst game of chicken? Didn't you understand or know that how this was going to end at some point? That Aaron Rodgers was going to be back at least for a season with the Green Bay Packers. All the trade talk, and we saw this with a few other quarterbacks. I don't know if it was because of what Tom Brady did and winning a Super Bowl, leaving New England, hitting Tampa Bay, and just taking over that town. We saw Russell Wilson, although he denies it now, asking for a trade. And I know they're all for different circumstances, but for Aaron Rodgers, you just knew that at one point he was going to come back because the Packers, he was either going to sit out or he was going to come back and play 1 year. And I think football is just ingrained in that man, into his chemistry, and he was going to play one more year, and then he was going to be done. Done with Green Bay. And if you're another NFL team, and you know the realistic thing is the Packers are going to have to release him after this year, would you even offer up a trade?
Probably not.
Thinking that, will he even agree to stick around with us?
Well, I mean,
you'd have to work that out prior to.
Any right? trade that would have to be predicated on him agreeing to a restructured or a contract extension, which would probably mean he's going to be the highest paid player in football. So Aaron Rodgers is certainly in the driver's seat. He either gets released at the end of the year or he gets traded and he's going to have a contract extension in hand, one or the other. And I'm guessing that he will only agree to a trade that he wants to a team he wants to play for as well. And he's already said, he narrowed down to four teams, I think, did he not? The Raiders, the Broncos, the Bears, I want to say, and I can't remember who the other team is.
So maybe it was just three.
We can strike the Bears from it because they've got Justin Fields now. So the Broncos to me, and the Raiders with John
Gruden.
Raiders
are still there.
Yeah, the Raiders are there, but the Broncos seem to me to be the ideal landing spot. They have a Super Bowl caliber defense. They've got some really nice weapons on the outside. Couldn't tell you necessarily about their offensive line, which is always huge for a quarterback, but overall, they are a quarterback away from being a very, very good team. And it's been a team that's won Super Bowls before. You've got, John Elway is not part of the picture really as much anymore. Maybe that's a good thing in Denver, but they're used to having, you know, great Hall of Fame quarterbacks. So anyway, a situation to keep your eye on, but it looks like there's a compromise, and Aaron Rodgers will be there for the Packers as they open training camp and will be there for what may be his final season in the green and gold.
We're going to hear this story throughout the entire NFL season.
Absolutely.
It's not dead. It's not done. It is going to be the driving line of this season is going to be Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll get to top of the hour news and sports update, the latest from the Olympics. Again, Canada's added three more medals as day four of competition is wrapping up over in Tokyo. Still a couple of events to come, including Canada's women's soccer team taking on Great Britain as we speak. So we'll keep you up to date on that and go in for a couple of live listen-ins as well. Michaela Schreiner will jump in, coming in after 7 o'clock as we continue along here on Sports Radio TSN 1200.